Thank you, Christine. Thank you so much. You're making me cry. You're making me cry. Sit down. You're making me cry. How's everybody doing? If this is your first time here, 1 month ago I had a knee replacement, and this is my first week to come back. It was 1 month ago, and I feel like a one-legged preacher is what I feel like. But thank you so much for your prayers and the notes and the cards and the emails and the texts. It meant so much to me. And how many of you have ever had a knee replacement? You've done that before? Everyone told me what, you all are a bunch of liars. No one told me how bad that first week was gonna be. And it's better, it's just incrementally small improvements day by day, but thank you so much, and I can't tell you how much you blessed me with your notes and cards. This is probably my favorite card I got, was this one right here. And I can't tell you how many times I looked at that guy and it just made me feel better. But just knowing that you were praying for me, and I'm sorry. I just want you to know I'm excited to be here, and I want to thank all the guest speakers that we had. I want to name them: Scott Daniels, who's my daughter's father-in-law, and then Caleb Walden and Bishop Ulmer, and then Jeff Walling last week. Would you thank them for filling in for us? And next weekend is going to be we'll have a Chris it's be Christmas message. And in 2 weeks, everybody say 2 weeks. In 2 weeks are the Christmas Eve candlelight services. And if you've never been here for one of our candlelight Christmas Eve services, make sure you get that on your schedule. And we'll have services. There's a lot of them. And so you just have to look and find the best time that works for you. Amen. But it's a beautiful time. Today, we're going to wrap up this series called I'm Standing Up. How many of you've enjoyed the series, I'm Standing Up? So, you know, I don't know why, but it was just important. This is the last series of the year, and it's the last message of the last series. And you can see the title. These are all the titles we've looked at. And if you look down at the bottom, the sermon today, and I want you to grab your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 6, get your sermon outline out. Today, I want to speak on the subject, standing against the devil's schemes. Yes. And it was important. I don't know why, but it was important for me to be here to wrap up this year. And people said, well, just get in a chair and sit down. And I have a chair back here. I want to sit down, honestly. I don't feel like standing right now. But I can't come out here and preach on a sermon called I'm Standing Up while I'm sitting down. If there was any other sermon, any other topic, I might be sitting down. But just visually, I can't do that. Amen. So I just want you to know, as you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, that this message at this time, you know, this was all planned a year in advance, and God knew that we would be here today. And at the start of this year, we introduced the theme for the year, which is to be an ambassador for Christ. And the whole year, we've talked about two elements. Every sermon has had something to do with the fact that you are to represent Jesus Christ here on this earth. Secondly, we are to deliver the King's letter. And so I can't explain it to you, except it's all God, how this message today is so apropos to what's going on in our culture today and the need for you and I to stand up. Amen. So I don't know if you're aware of what's going on in our culture today. I think you're aware, but it appears that at every turn, the world is trying to silence you as a Christian. It appears that everywhere I look, that the world is trying to cancel you as a believer. There's an all-out attack, I believe, from Satan to keep us from being Christ ambassadors. And so I want to read part of this text, and I just want you to remember as I read this that the Apostle Paul wrote this to a church in Ephesus. Get this, he wrote these words 2,000 years ago. We're looking at words that were written 2,000 years ago, but as we read it, it appears as though he wrote it this morning for us here today in the culture in which we live. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, everybody say the word finally. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. Everybody say your stand. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Verse 13, therefore put on that full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, and it will come, that you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, you're the last man standing. You can clap for that. We are in a spiritual battle today. It's not a skirmish. It's not a game. It's not a competition. It is a spiritual war. I want you to write something down at the beginning of this message. Don't ever forget what you're about to write down. Write this down. People are not your problem. Write that down. People are not your problem. Oh, they look like they're the problem. And you might think that they're the problem, but they're not the problem. I want you to turn to whoever you're sitting next to and go, you look like the problem. But the preacher says you're not the problem. Go ahead and say that to him. Verse 12 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the rulers and the authorities and the powers and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is known as spiritual warfare. Now, I want you to write this down. Spiritual warfare are battles in the unseen that are responsible for battles that are seen. I want to say that again. Spiritual warfare are battles in the heavenlies that are responsible for the battles that are here that you see. Whatever it is that's going on in your life right now physically is rooted in a spiritual realm, aka the heavenlies. This very moment, there is a cosmic battle that is being fought for this nation. There's a cosmic battle being fought for your family, and for your marriage, and for your children, and for your soul. Don't be so naive to think that when things are bad in your life, well, that's just the way the ball bounces, or that's just the way the cookie crumbles. No, there are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm working behind the scenes to defeat you. Now, here's what we know if you read through this text. Number one, write this down, is that we have an adversary. We have an adversary, an enemy,
Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The adversary is the devil. The enemy is the devil. He's real. He's not a figment of someone's imagination. I want you to write this down quickly. He is a decided fact. He is a destructive force, and he is a defeated foe. He's all three. He's a fact. He's real. He's powerful. He's destructive, but he's a defeated foe. He has many names in the Bible. He's called Satan. He's called Lucifer. He's called a serpent. He's called the prince of this world. He's called the prince of demons. He's called the father of lies. He's called the tempter. He's called the angel of light. He's called the evil one. He's called the destroyer and the accuser. Not a make-believe character, not imaginary foe. He's real, he's sophisticated, he's powerful, and he's present. There's a song that we sing usually every Easter. We used to do it every Easter. We only sang the song once a year. We only sung it on Easter. It was called He Lives. And we sang it about Jesus. And it goes, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. How many of you remember singing that song on Easter? Once a year. We could sing the same song about Satan, but we could sing it every day. It goes like this. He lives, he lives. Evil Satan lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He's real, he's present. He operates in the spirit world. He's in the heavenlies. Oh, there's a method to his madness. The Bible says that he came to kill, steal, and destroy. He has many schemes, according to verse 11. And one of his greatest schemes, tricks up his sleeve, is to try to get you to not think that he's real. He wants you to think that he doesn't really exist. That he's here, but he wears a red suit, like underwear. And he's got horns, he's got a little tail, and he's got a pitchfork. And he kind of goes around and he pokes people with this glorified broomstick. Now, how many of you, when we talk about the devil, that there's some imagery that comes to your mind of a guy in a red suit with a pitchfork? I mean, how many of you got that a little bit in your head? That's kind of what he looks like. Do not believe for a second that he's something to laugh at. And don't underestimate his destructive and his persuasive powers. He has power in the kingdoms of this world. He has power to inflict people with sickness and depression. He can tempt you when you're most vulnerable and when you're least vulnerable. He perverts all truth. He opposes God's purposes. He assumes many disguises. He hinders the gospel. He creates doubt, denial, and confusion. He blinds multitudes to the truth. He seeks to destroy your faith. He desires to discredit Christ. He makes sin look attractive. He has many schemes, and he is relentless. The Bible says that he's always on the prowl, roaming around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Another one of his most effective ploys is to get us, you and I, to argue and fight against each other so that we spend all our energies fighting each other with no awareness of what it takes to fight the principalities and powers in the heavenlies. Look at verse 12 one more time. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. People are not the problem, but it's against the powers, the rulers, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Our battle is not with Hollywood. Our battle is not with the media. We're not fighting the Chinese or the Russians. We're not fighting the Democrats or the Republicans. We're not fighting with the LGBTQ crowd or with the woke crowd. Our battle is against the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of the heavenlies. And don't ever forget that he is a defeated foe. Because when I look around, it looks like he's winning. But his days are numbered. Two books later, in the book of Colossians, chapter 2:15, Paul writes these words through Jesus, verse 15. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Satan's power was broken at the cross. He's already been defeated. It's not that one day he will be defeated. He's already been defeated. And the devil hopes that you will never learn that the one that is in you, Jesus Christ, is far more powerful than he will ever be. Number two, the armor. We have an adversary. But the rest of this chapter, Paul writes to explain to us that in the midst of this spiritual war, that God has equipped us, that he's given us some supernatural equipment in order to be successful in this spiritual battle. And the most foolish thing in all the world is to go up against Satan and all of his demons without being suited up in your spiritual armor. Verse 11 says, to put on the full. Everybody say the word full. It says put on, doesn't say put on part. It says put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Full means to put all of it on. Don't miss putting on every single piece of armor that God has provided. You need all of them. Let's read through them and then we'll go back and comment on them. Verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, that you will be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, you're still standing. Verse 14. Stand firm. Notice how often that phrase, stand firm is in this text. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Verse 16, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want you to take your outline and turn it over on the back. Did you know that was back there? That's a soldier. You see that soldier? Or one that kind of looks like a soldier? Now, are you looking at it? Say, Pastor, I'm listening. Okay, listen to this. Go back to point two. And write this down. When Paul is writing these words 2,000 years ago, he's in prison and he's chained to a Roman soldier. I want you to remember that. He's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus and he's sitting there and he's trying to articulate and he's trying to illustrate. He's trying to come up with a way, how can I explain to the church that we're in a spiritual battle in a way that they'll never forget? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says to Paul, Paul, look at the soldier you're chained to. There's your analogy. Write that down. And so, I want you to go back to the soldier, if you will. I want you to write down all the pieces of armor that we just read through. Make sure you write them in the right place, okay? Number one, the belt of truth. Write that down. Don't put that up where the helmet is. Put it down there where the belt is. The belt of truth buckled around your what? How many of you wearing a belt right now? Oh, yeah. Why? Well, because if we took that belt up, things would fall apart. And Paul's looking at that soldier. You can't go into battle with everything flailing around. He's got this belt on that holds everything together. And the idea of Paul is the truth, that truth is our main weapon. Not lies, not deception, not confusion, but truth. You see, the devil is a liar, and he can't stand truth, and he doesn't want you to know the truth. And so he deceives us. And Paul says, don't trust that liar. If you ever see Satan, you can say, liar, liar, pants on fire, because that's what he is, he's a liar. Paul says the first piece of armor is truth. We need the correct information for all of Satan's misinformation. And what Satan has done, stay with me, he has blinded millions to the truth. It's amazing. He has convinced us that marriage is not a union between a man and a woman. He's convinced us that it's okay to lie and it's okay to lust. And you just live the way you want to live. You do you. He's convinced us, think about this, he has convinced millions that it's okay to abort a child. How'd we ever get there? Well, Satan has blinded us to the truth that that child is created in the very image of God. He has convinced us, think about this, that we will never, ever, ever have to stand before an almighty God and give an account for every word and deed that we've done here on earth. And so Paul says what we need is the truth. Get truth and wrap yourself in truth, because without that, nothing's gonna work. Number two, write this down, breastplate of righteousness. This is from your neck down to your belt, your waist. What is that? Well, it's a breastplate, and what does it cover? It covers your chest, your lungs, your heart, your liver, your vital organs. No soldier would fight without a breastplate on, and no Christian will be victorious over Satan without a breastplate of righteousness. What is this? Yes, I know that our righteousness comes from God. But the question is, are you living a pure life? Do you have some sin in your life that you've justified? Some sin that you're organizing, that you're involved with? Because all Satan needs, this is all he needs a crack in that armor. And from that point, he can cause destruction. So the breastplate of righteousness is cover that heart of yours with God's righteousness, with God's purity. We have compromised and justified so many sins. We're blinded to the destruction that the devil can do when we allow sin in our lives to any degree. Number three, we need shoes that represent the gospel of peace. A soldier has to have some Nikes on. It's true, it's amazing that the Romans developed these sandals that had knobs on the bottoms of them. Think of golf shoes or soccer cleats. And this whole text, we see over and over, stand, take your stand, stand firm, stand. An army does not fight lying down. An army fights standing up. And the devil would love to trip you up. Pardon the pun, but the devil would love to defeat you. We need to lace up, get ready, understand what the gospel is. The gospel is how we make peace with God and peace with one another. Think about this. One of Satan's greatest tools is fear. It's easy to look around and just be fearful and go, you know what? I don't think I can do this. I think I'm just going to go lay down. I'm going to go put my head in the stand and just act like everything's okay. And we hide. We're demoralized. We're not engaged. We're not active. We're not involved. And one of the Christian's greatest antidotes is to be at peace with God. Because I look around and I get discouraged when I see what's happening in our world. And he's saying, hey, lace up your shoes. Get in the game. There's a tranquility in my heart because I have peace with God. I know the gospel of Jesus Christ. He puts a smile on my face. No matter what I'm going through, I can have peace in the midst of the storm. Lace them up. All systems go. Let's go. Number four, you need a shield of faith. And make sure you look at that verse. With which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The Roman soldiers had these shields that were about 2 feet wide and about 4 feet high. Think of a turtle shell. And so when all the fiery darts were coming in, they could take that shield and they could hide behind it. They also, they had developed on the front of the shield, they'd figured out a way to put leather on the front of the shield. And right before they'd go into battle for that day, they would take the shield and they would dip it in water, and then they would go to battle, and that wet leather, when the arrows came from the enemy and they'd hide and the arrows would hit that shield, the wet leather would extinguish those fiery darts. And Paul says in this battle that we're fighting, the command is to stand firm against Satan's relentless attacks. And there are times, I felt it this week, that I was just under constant attack. I was trying to do the right thing, and it seemed like all day, every day, the devil just kept shooting me with these fiery darts. Well, how am I gonna stand against those fiery darts? The Bible says, through your faith. Through your faith. This text is talking about standing your ground. And what that means is, stand firm means don't go run and hide when the devil comes. When you're under attack, don't leave your post. Stay in your spot. God has you there for a reason. Oh, yes. You're going to undergo attacks from Satan. It's going to sound and feel like he's throwing fiery darts at you. What it means to stand firm is don't leave your spot. You don't need to run and hide or retreat. Hold your ground. How am I going to do that with Satan attacking me? Shield of faith. Faith. Faith is what gets you through all that. It's kind of like the umbrella that you brought to church today. You didn't want to get your hair wet. It was raining. So you got an umbrella and you hid underneath there. That's the same thing as a soldier hiding behind that shield. You need faith to get through things in this life. Number five, quickly, the helmet of salvation. Woo! I think Paul's saying, just like a helmet protects your head, when you're engaged in spiritual warfare, your mind and knowing that you're saved is the difference between life and death. No matter how bad things may seem, I'm not going to live my life in despair because I know that I'm saved. No matter how often Satan attacks me, no matter how bleak things seem in this world, no matter how much gloom and doom there is in this world, I won't live in fear, I won't be afraid because I know I am saved. Now, if you're not saved, you got no chance against what the devil has planned for you. So if you're not saved, make sure you come and get saved today. Amen. Number six, write this down quickly. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, the greatest weapon in dueling with the devil, is the mighty, powerful, inspired word of God. Now, I just want to say this, and I just give me a second to do this. When Paul wrote this, he used the Greek word for the Bible, the word logos or logos. And that word, the word of God, logos, is a word that just means the general word of God. But in this text, he did not use the word for the general word of God. He said, take up the sword of the Spirit, and he used the Greek word rhema. And that word rhema means a specific word of God. And what that means is that when you're in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the battle, in this cosmic battle that's happening, I believe that in that, because all day long, every day, like I'm being attacked, you're being attacked, there's different situations, different circumstances, some of it's health, some of it's financial, some of it's relational, it's different for everybody, whatever you're going through. But what he's saying here is in the midst of that battle, God is going to give you a specific word to get you through this battle. Does that make sense? You remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan? He didn't quote the whole Bible. He said, it is written, and he quoted one verse back to Satan. That's that specific word. You say, well, what word's God gonna give me? I don't know. I'm just saying, you need the full armor of God. And at that moment, God will give you a specific word to see you through that day. Amen. Number three. Oh, we're not getting out of here. I'll talk about number three here. The Almighty. Everybody say the Almighty. Oh, yeah. Go back to the opening line of verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Where does our victory come from? It comes from the Lord. I want you to write this down. I put it in here specifically for you to write down, A and B. I want you to know we do have an adversary. The devil's real. And write it down. The devil is mighty and the devil is powerful. I know that. But letter B, our strength and our victory comes from the Lord. And our Lord is not just mighty. He's almighty. And he's not just powerful. He's all powerful. 1 John 4:4, you dear children are from God. You have overcome the world. Because the one that is in you, which is Jesus, is greater than the one who's in this world. Oh, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Satan seems to be winning the day, but the God we serve and the God we love is infinitely greater than Satan in every way. The God we serve literally just spoke and created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them. The Bible says that God holds the entire universe just in the palm of his hand. The Bible says that God numbers the stars and he names them name by name. The Bible says that God sees when a sparrow falls to the ground. How much more will he care for you? The Bible says that our God paints the lilies and the flowers of the fields. How much more will he clothe you? He sees every tear. He hears every prayer. We have to understand that in this cosmic battle that's being fought this very moment. You and I have been doped or duped into thinking that the devil is the one running the shows. The devil is the one calling all the shots. The devil is the shot caller. And you and I, we're just puppets on a string. We've all been fooled to think that the devil is the final decision maker in regards to our joy and our happiness and our well-being and our spiritual destiny and all the other things that matter in our lives. I've come to give you some good news. Wipe that sweat off your forehead. Dry those weeping eyes of yours. As Tony Evans says, take those jittering fingers out of your clashing teeth, because God is in control. He's awesome and he's amazing. He's beautiful and he's benevolent. He's compassionate and comforting. He's the day star and the deliverer. He's eternal and he's everlasting. He's faithful and he's a friend. He's great and he's glorious. He's holy and he's honorable. He's the inner sanctuary. He's the great I am. He's Jehovah and he's the justifier. He's the King of kings and he's the keeper of my soul. He's loving and he's Lord of all. He's marvelous and merciful. He's omnipotent and omnipresent. He's my protector and my provider. He's quintessential and he's quick to listen. He's the redeemer and the restorer. He's the savior and the sustainer. He's truthful and he's trustworthy. He's unequaled and he's unparalleled. He's divine and he's victorious. He alone is worthy and wonderful. He is excellent and extreme in his love for you, and he is zealous for you in every way. And when you understand a God like that, even when you're in jail and tied to a Roman soldier, thinking you're never going to get out, that's when you can say things like what Paul says in verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, that words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Oh, goodness. Let's stand, let's stand, let's stand. How many of you glad you came to church today? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's bow our heads. God, thank you for church. Thank you for the rain. It washes everything new. Just like your grace and your mercy, God, that covers us. But Lord, I don't want to be like a lamb going to the slaughter. We have so many new people in our church. So many people are just kind of going through life like a feather in the wind, not realizing that there's a battle being waged in the heavenlies for our very soul. Thank you that on the cross, Jesus canceled all of our debt. Thank you, God, that on the cross, you said those words, "It is finished." Because everything from the beginning of time up to that moment on that cross was this spiritual battle being fought in the heavenlies over the souls and salvation of every man. But when Jesus went on that cross, Satan thought that he had made the final move by getting Jesus to die and throwing him in that tomb. But on that third day, Jesus rose from that grave. And that same power exists in us here today that enables us to put our strength in the power and the hope of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anybody here today, they don't have that helmet of salvation, they don't have that breastplate of righteousness, they're not aware of the gospel, help them to come through these doors over by the baptistry. There are people there right now waiting to pray. Whatever you're going through, they're waiting to pray for you and with you. And if people are watching on the screen, help them to text Jesus to the number on that screen. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for the light that shines from this place. I know that Satan will do whatever he can do to shut and to diminish the influence and the ripple effect of people coming to worship you. And I just pray for your protection. I pray that we would trust in you, O God, that you would go before us, that our victory would be found in you. Watch over every family, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who's here today, and bring us back safely next week, we pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand your ground. God bless.